Psalm 51, as we continue our study in this psalm, we will be considering today the two verses which begin with the word, Behold. Verse 5, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 6, Behold. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. For over a year, David's sin that he committed with Bathsheba, and later with Uriah, had lain undetected. David had somehow managed over that period of time to put his conscience to sleep. And he himself had slept soundly without having nightmares about what he had done. Even the murder of Uriah had not succeeded in arousing his conscience, which slept soundly through it all. So with every passing day, David's wicked deeds slipped further and further away from his memory, and deeper into the past. That is until the day when the prophet Nathan came to David with a word from the Lord. It was a plain word. It was a powerful word. And it was a personal word. And Nathan said unto David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do this evil in his sight? The word which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word brought deep conviction to the heart of David. With Nathan standing before him, the word he delivered cut open David's heart and cried to his conscience, Awake! Awake thou that sleepest. And with a start, David's conscience awoke, and immediately the events of his dark past were suddenly exposed and came flooding back into his heart and into his mind in the light of God's word. There was no putting his conscience to sleep this time. The twin monsters of adultery and murder suddenly appeared from the dark shadows of his past. And as David now looked upon those monsters, those two sins, they appeared even more ugly than ever they had appeared before. Everywhere David looked, he not only saw the sin of adultery, he not only saw the sin of murder in his life, but everywhere he looked, sin stares back at him out of the darkness of his past. There is sin, there is evil, there is transgression. There is iniquity. He looks in and sin is there. He looks out and sin is there. He looks back and sin is there. He says, yea, my sin is ever before me. It is before me. It is beside me. It is within me. It is behind me. And then, as though he makes a fresh discovery, he says, behold, I see more sin. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. The word shapen there means born. I was born in iniquity. I can look back to the very day I was born and I see sin in my life and in my members. But he doesn't end there. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He goes even beyond the day of his birth. And he sees sin there also. From the throne of Israel, David follows the trail of sin all the way back to the cradle and even beyond that. It is this verse and the words of verse 6 that we want to consider then today. And with the Lord's help, look at what David meant here and seek to discern how he felt when he wrote these words, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Let us follow then this trail of sin in David's life and see where it leads us and see what it can teach us. For all these things are written for our learning. I want us first of all to consider, as we look at these words, David and his dreadful history. His conscience, having been aroused, and conviction of sin troubling him, David wishes he could blot out the memory of his awful deeds. He has pleaded for mercy. He has prayed for cleansing. He has been told that God has removed his sin, but still the memory is there. Still his behavior on that awful night when he walked upon the roof of the king's house, the memory of that night he cannot erase from his mind. The more he thinks about it, the more he sees the sinfulness of his own nature. Sin tends to do that. We look at our sin. We don't see one sin. But before we know it, we can see a million sins. Here we see that David was conscious of a sinful nature. As he thought upon his sinfulness, his thoughts took him back through the years of his life. And as he considered his years as king, he could see sin. As he went back further even to his youthful days, he saw sin in the days of his youth. He goes back further still, even to his childhood days, and suddenly David can see sin there. And when he exclaims, "Behold, I was shapen or born in iniquity, and in sin my conceived me," David is conscious that sin was present in his nature from the day he was born. Yea, from the very moment he was conceived in the womb of his mother, David recognizes and realizes and is conscious of the fact that sin was present with him. David was saying, "I have a nature that was capable of committing adultery and was capable of committing murder. I have a nature that will one day despise the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight." And we see here in this verse and in these words of the King of Israel, David had a grasp of the doctrine of original sin. It's a doctrine that is not popular today. Man does not like to think of himself as being a sinner. Man does not like to think of himself as having a depraved nature. Man does not think of himself and does not like to think of himself as being one who is born with a depraved nature. No man would rather consider himself as being good. And he would tell us, "Well, there's a little bit of good in every one of us." David knew that he had Adam's sin running through his veins. Paul knew that too. For there in Romans 5, Paul says, verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Even a child. Even the little child that is in our presence today, just over a week old. Last week or a week or so ago, born a sinner. With a depraved nature. Verse 19 of Romans 5, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. "Yea, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And here is David, and he recognizes that he has a sinful nature. He is a sinner by nature. And then when he committed sin with Bathsheba, David recognized that he was a sinner by choice. And believer, we're all sinners by nature, and we're all sinners by choice. Yeah, we're all sinners by nature, but we cannot blame it all on Adam. We're all sinners by choice. We have that sinful nature, and there's that natural bias towards sin. And here David recognized that. He looked upon his sin that he had committed with Bathsheba and Uriah. The more he looked into his life, the more sin he saw. And he looks away back and away back and realizes, "I was born in sin." He turned to Romans 3. Here's the answer. Here's the answer to those who say there's a little bit of good in every one of us. Here's God's answer. Romans 3, verse 10, for it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are to become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. None that doeth good. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's God's answer to those who say there's a little bit of good in every one of us. Even anything that man does that he judges as being good is stained by sin. Therefore, it is not acceptable in God's sight. This is folly of those who believe that they can find acceptance with God through their good works. When God says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And any good that man may think he is able to do, those good acts or good deeds are stained by sin, and God will not accept them. And here is David, and he sees just how sinful he was. Then we notice his confession and his sinful nature. At no point in this psalm does David attempt to excuse his sin. He makes no attempt to shift the blame by saying it was due to my surroundings, or it was due to my upbringing, or it was someone else's fault. He didn't say it was Bathsheba's fault. He didn't try and put the blame on her. We have 19 verses in this psalm. And nowhere in the psalm do we find David trying to shift the blame. Over and over again he confesses to his sin. And here in these verses he confesses to his sinful nature. He confesses his sin and his iniquity, his transgressions and his evil. And he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. I was shapen in iniquity. I was born in iniquity. Iniquity was part of me the day I was born. Iniquity was in my nature the day I was born. He leaves no room for placing the blame for his actions elsewhere. You know, that's a difficult thing to do. When we are convicted about our sin, what's the first thing we try to do? We try to excuse it. We try to make an excuse for it. We try to convince ourselves it's someone else's fault. Not really ours. Our awful sinful nature, our sinful nature, will never want to own its sin. It'll always want to put the blame somewhere else. Turn, please, to 1 Samuel. Here we have a perfect example of this. First Samuel 15. There in 1 Samuel 15. In verse 3, God gives a command to Saul, Israel's king. This is what the Lord said. Now go and smite Amalek, and not only destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ass, oak, or ox, and sheep, camel, and ass. It was God's command. Now look at verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. In the eyes of God, nothing was good. God said Amalek was to be utterly destroyed. But here Saul had a different opinion. Here Saul and he's contradicting God. And he spared all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. He was setting his own standards. We all tend to do that. We like to set our own standards. Live by our own standards, but not God's standards. Saul wasn't prepared to live by God's standards. Look at verse 13. Samuel comes upon the scene. And Samuel said to Saul, Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears? Samuel shouldn't have been able to hear any bleating. Saul's sin had found him out. What meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. They did it. The command was given to Saul, but here Saul, and he blames others. He shifts the blame. He doesn't think twice about doing it. And you know what makes it worse? He said this was done in the Lord's name. This was done for the Lord. We kept these animals that we might sacrifice them unto the Lord. That was despicable. And even when he addressed Samuel, he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He wanted to look good in the eyes of Samuel, but whenever his sin was found out, then he shifted the blame to the people. At least give David credit for this. He didn't try and shift the blame. He didn't say it was someone else's fault. David said, I have sinned. I have committed this transgression. I have done this evil. At least he owned up to his sin. And indeed owned up to much more. For in this psalm, he doesn't only speak about that night when he walked upon the king's roof. He talks about the sin of his whole life. And everywhere he looked, says, yea, I was born. Indeed, dear child of God, when we come before God to confess our sins, we'd be better not trying to minimize our sins, to come before God and see ourselves even as Paul saw himself as the chief of sinners. And even after many years serving Christ, even after he had surrendered all and counted everything but dung that he might gain Christ, what did Paul say? He says, O wretched man that I am, shall deliver me from the body of this death. We rejoice that David's sinful nature that he had, and the sinful nature that he had recognized, and the sin he confessed to, David received cleansing. That's a marvel of grace. A miracle of grace. And now what Nathan told him, God has put away your sin. And bless the Lord, believer, no matter how sinful we see ourselves to be, no matter how sinful we feel we are, there is cleansing for us. For the chief of sinners, hallelujah, there's the chief of saviors. For a heart full of sin, there's a fountain filled with blood. For a life full of iniquity, there's an ocean full of cleansing. For the one who feels his wretchedness and knows it runs right back to his mother's womb, when he confesses his sin, there is forgiveness. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses, goes on cleansing. Now the consequences of a sinful nature. David evidently recognized that he had suffered the consequences of having a sinful nature. It is as if he is saying here, it is no wonder that I committed such wickedness. No wonder, since I have such a sinful nature. And having such a sinful nature, a nature that has a bias towards sin and a love for it, David was saying, I should never have looked as I did at Bathsheba. Of my sinful nature. I should never have looked upon her because I have a heart that is deceitful and a nature that cannot be trusted. And that's what we have. We have a nature that we cannot trust. That's what happened to Joseph. Joseph recognized that. Joseph recognized he had a nature that he couldn't trust. Because when he found himself in the house of Potiphar, and all the men of the house had left, and there was Potiphar's wife, and she made advances towards him, what did he do? He took to his heels and ran. He ran from the house as though the house was on fire. Because Joseph knew he couldn't trust his nature. He had a sinful nature. Many a man has been beguiled by it. by a Potiphar's wife. And has fallen because of a sinful nature. To enter Potiphar's house was such a nature. So I thought about it. But like standing beside a burning building with a can of petrol in your hand. And here is David, and he recognized, I have such a sinful nature. It goes right back to the day, to the moment I was conceived. I should never, with such a sinful nature, never have looked upon Bathsheba the way I did. His son Solomon said this, Proverbs 6:27. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? David that night had taken fire into his bosom. And oh, how severely David was burned. So David is considered as dreadful history. I was born in sin. That's his history. I was shapen in iniquity. And sin did my mother conceive me. And then you have David and a desired honesty. So the next verse begins again with the word behold. Behold, thou desirest truth. He's addressing the Lord and he says, behold, thou desirest truth. In the inward part and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. David knew that God was one who desired honesty. He looked for honesty. Looked for honesty in David's heart. After Nathan had spoken to him, brought to him the word of the Lord, David knew he had to be honest with God. And that's what the whole psalm's about, is being honest with God. Wash me fully from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin. Sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned. He's honest. We have already noted that when Saul was challenged about his sin, he wasn't honest about it. For he told Samuel, and the Lord's servant blessed him. Be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. No, he hadn't. He wasn't being honest. Wasn't being honest, and the sin was discovered. And David here states, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Here you have, first of all, the Lord's pleasure. When David spoke about the Lord desiring truth, he was saying, the Lord takes pleasure in truth. For the word desireth, that's what it means. Thou desirest truth. The word desireth means to take pleasure in. Thou takes pleasure in truth. Just like the natural father. When their children do something wrong and they're found out, what do we say? As fathers, we say, just tell me the truth. I'd prefer that you told me the truth. Don't lie or don't try and cover it up. Tell me the truth. And our Heavenly Father, when we offend Him and sin against Him and disobey Him, He would say to us, tell me the truth. Because I take pleasure in truth. And this is what David later testified to, saying to his son Solomon, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. And so when we come before Him and seek forgiveness, well, just like David, when we seek forgiveness, we need to seek it. For no man may expect forgiveness if he's not truthful in confessing his sin. David was truthful. David was honest. David knew God desired, demanded truthfulness. And again, referring to what Nathan said, God has taken away thy sin. See? He was honest with himself and he was honest with God, and the result, God took away his sin. Proverbs 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an oblation to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is His delight. If we're upright in our praying, God takes great delight in that. Give the Lord's pleasure, the Lord's perception. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. The word inward means that which is concealed or covered. That which is covered and hidden from the view of man. You see, David had lived for over a year after what he had done, after he had committed that sin with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah. He had lived for over a year after that. Nobody took any notice. Nobody took it under their notice what David had done. God, of course, took note. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. David says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. The Lord sees that which is covered. The Lord sees that which is concealed from the eyes of man. He sees that which only God sees. So David knows that he cannot hide anything from the Lord. He knows he must be honest about his secret faults, about his sin. And he said that in Psalm 19, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. And so, dear child of God, even as we were considering it this morning in our study of the tabernacle, we looked at the laver that was filled with water. The priests, before they did anything by way of service or worship in the tabernacle, had to wash their hands and their feet in the laver. They were to make sure they were clean before God in His service. So must we. We attend to the outward appearance, but we must attend and give attention to the inner man as well. For we read in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, let it be that the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit which is in the sight of God. The inner man which is in the sight of God. God sees the inner man. God sees the heart, which is in the sight of God of great price. And dear child of God, we must attend to the state of the inner man. We must be honest about the inner man. We must be honest about the spiritual man. Because God desires, yea, takes delight in truth. In the hidden part. So David came and said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And bless the Lord, dear child of God, there is cleansing for us. From all the sins over which I have wept, cleansing for me. Cleansing for me. Far, far away by the blood current swept, cleansing for me. We don't have to live with our sin. There's cleansing from our sin. Jesus, thy promise I dare to believe, and as I come, thou dost nigh me receive, that over sin I may nevermore grieve. Cleansing for me. Cleansing for me. Finally, you have David and his divine helper. Because verse 6 goes on to say, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. David recognizes that he had not been very wise in what he had done. Of course, there's nothing wise about sin. Nothing sensible about sin. So here he speaks about learning from his mistakes and his sins. You, David the learner. David says, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me, thou shalt teach me to know wisdom. Through what has happened to me, I will surely be wiser in the days to come. He wasn't very wise that night. But like a man who becomes intoxicated with liquor, he does foolish things. He does things that he regrets afterwards when he is sobered up. We have a saying, and it is, when the drink's in, the wit's out. And it's true. When the drink's in, the wit is out. When the drink's in, men don't behave very wisely. Rather, they behave like fools. And when they sober up the next morning, they realize just how big of a fool they were when they were drunk. And what happened to David? He had become intoxicated with the beauty of Bathsheba. And when he became so intoxicated, the wit was out. Didn't behave very wisely. And David says, now I'm ready to learn. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And he says, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. That word hidden is interesting. It's a word that means to close up, to stop, or to shut up. The word is used over in Genesis 26, verses 15 and 18, where it refers to the Philistines blocking up the wells that belonged to Abraham. He stopped the wells, stopped the water from flowing out. And here David uses that word and says, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Thou shalt put wisdom in my heart and stop it from flowing out. As it has flowed out, as it were, that night he committed sin with Bathsheba. His wisdom left him that night. It was only afterwards he realized what a fool he had been. And so David says, thou wilt make me to know wisdom, and I will hide this wisdom in my heart and stop it from flowing out, and prevent me from behaving in such a foolish manner ever again. He learned the hard way. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. David as the learner, David and his lessons. He learned how his sinful behavior had grieved the Lord. That's what he learned. He learned how his sinful behavior had brought sorrow to his own heart. That's what he learned. He learned about the severe consequences his sin brought to him and to his house and to his family. Now therefore the Lord said, the sword shall never depart from thine house. He learned that his sin did not bring him any gain, only losses. For God says, I will raise up evil against this house, and I will take away thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. He lost his child as well. We never gain anything by sin. We always lose. Always lose. And that's what David learned. He learned a bitter lesson. And yet David and his Lord. David said, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The more he knew of the Lord's wisdom, the less likely he was to fall again. Proverbs 8 tells us about God's wisdom. Proverbs 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 24 tells us, but unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. And here we have David saying, and in the hidden thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And dear child of God, for us to be spared this fall into bitter sin, we need to pray. Make me to know wisdom. Make me to know Christ. That's the answer. Knowing Christ. The more we know of Jesus Christ, the less likely we will be to fall into this sin. Make me to know Christ. That ought to be our prayer. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. May this heart of mine know more of Christ, and that knowledge be shut up in my heart, that we might not sin against God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our God and Father, we recognize and know that often, Lord, we learn about the lessons of life in a bitter way. And we learn those bitter lessons. And, O gracious Lord, we pray that the lessons we have learned in the past will not soon forget them. And, O God, we pray, even as David prayed, make me to know wisdom. May we be wise. And O Lord, make me to know wisdom, make me to know Christ, who is the power of God, who is the wisdom of God. May we each one desire to know more of Christ. O Lord, bless the word today. It's been a hard word, a difficult word, because, Lord, it gets right to the very heart of the matter and shows us how sinful our natures really are. Sometimes, Lord, it's hard to face up to the truth that indeed we have a sinful nature. So our God, keep us near the cross. Wash us from all our sins. Help us, Lord, to live holy lives that are pleasing in thy sight. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.